So, immigration, republicanism and nationalism in France. Well, we'll talk about republicanism and nationalism at the end of the presentation. And the question is whether it has something to do or not with the migration issue we are to deal with. So, I must remember an historical fact, which is very important, that France is the only European country that did not migrate to Americas because of the French and Malthusianism, labor shortage consequent to this strange behavior, and so the need for immigrants. And here is a series of slides, two slides, and you can see the net growth of all these countries, decade after decade, from the middle of the 19th century up to the 30s. And you can see that in England and Wales, Austria, Scotland, etc., hundreds of thousands of people were lost per decade. It's very striking in Germany, for example. So, and look here. Other countries have the same destiny, and Italy especially in the last period, but France is completely apart. So it's very, very striking. France is the only country which really has gained population decade after decade during all the 19th century, with a natural production rate close to one. So a very slight difference between birth rate and death rate. And this is very typical. Here is the evolution of migration, number of millions of foreigners, millions of immigrants. You can see that in the last period, the last year, the gap, the difference between the number of foreigners and immigrants has widened. And the percentage of population, well, there are some doubts about the quality of this figure. We reasonably consider that taking into account the illegal immigrants, we have passed, cleared the threshold of 10% of the of immigrants of the, well, the first generation. If we add the second generation, we more or less 12% population more. We arrive at nearly a quarter of the population living in France today is either a migrant or child of one or two migrants. Nearly a quarter. So it's not very different from Germany, it's not very different from the Netherlands, it's a little less than the US, but not that much. In the US it's 28%, something like that. So more or less we are an immigration country. This is not a discovery, but it's always difficult for us because we consider that we are an immigration country in periods of crisis, in special periods, not as something ordinary. Okay. And here is, well, it's difficult to read, but this is the composition, all the national origins of the migrants. And you can see that from the Second Empire, from the period of Napoleon III, we tapped into our neighbors, the Belgium first, working in the mines, in the coal industries, in the railroads, etc. And then the Italians very soon, then the Spanish, and after the First World War, we recruited Polish in huge quantities and with very harsh methods. It has been described now. We have, and then after the First World War, we still recourse to migrants in order to reconstruct our economies. And this is sometimes recalled in the French public debate. The importance of migrants to reconstruct the economy after each of our wars, but progressively this memory is vanishing. It's interesting. And in the last periods, we have important arrivals of people from Maghreb and then from sub-Saharan Africa, the color of the violet stripes, etc. So a huge diversity, and more or less, in order to if I want to summarize, in the 1975 census, 20% of the migrants came from Maghreb or the rest of Africa, 20%, and now it's 43%. And of course, the public opinion is sensitive to this new visible migration. There is no doubt about it. An important episode in our migration history is the GISTI decision. GISTI is the name of a NGO which supports migration from the legal point of view, and the Council of State decided to enshrine the right to family reunification before the European Convention on Human Rights. Now it's obsolete, it has been taken over by the European Convention, but it says the same thing. People, that foreigners have a right to have a normal family, and having a normal family implies to have a spouse, minor children with you, and the possibility for the spouse to work. And this is the core of our, but as we'll see, it is, well, the application is problematic. Okay, so another representation of it is just to take the two components of demographic growth, natural growth, difference between birth and death, and the net migration. Of course, it's just net migration. It hides a lot of movements, inflows and outflows, but the comparison within countries is interesting, and you can see that an important part of the migration flows in the 50s, 60s, had contributed to the population growth, altogether with the baby boom. It was not a counter-cycling movement. And then in 73, as you know, 74, after the Kippur War, after the oil crisis, we decided 1 year later, after Germany, to stop the work immigration. And so from then on, we have family unification, marriage migration, students, refuge, and so on and so on. Okay, so here is at the same scale, in proportion, this is Germany. And you can see immediately the huge contrast between these two countries. First, the natural growth is negative in Germany, more death than birth. And it's very striking. We have never experienced such a negative growth. And you can see that in Germany, this profile, in French we say Russian mountains, like in the circus. Huh? It's very striking because this, so Germany is from the 70s, has an incredible capacity, a charitable capacity, a capacity to welcome all the refugees from the conflicts or wars at the south of Europe and in the Near East. It's very impressive. And France has never done this. We have an ordinary migration, which applies the laws, family reunification, etc. And we don't really welcome the refugees of all the wars. And this is, well, I can explain, I have many explanations about it. And just a third country is Spain, the same scale, it's also in proportion, and it's completely different. And during the Franco regime, a very traditional migration, net growth, and you can see they migrated in the 50s, 60s, 70s, and then this incredible migration bubble, which burst when the subprime crisis. So in France, there is no correlation between the economic cycle and the migration movements. No correlation since 73, because we stopped work immigration. While in South Europe, you have still a correlation between economic and the economy and migration. And this is an important difference between Western Europe and Southern Europe. Okay, so I will skip all this story about the attitudes. It's important, but we had the dream in the 90s that we could stop completely migration. It has been abandoned, and even now the rightist part of the political spectrum, not the extreme right, but the rightist part, agrees that yes, we have immigration, we have to to reduce it, but the idea to abolish it is unreal. So let's go to the Sarkozy era, and then to the present, the contemporary period. Sarkozy had the idea that this famous slogan, oui à l'immigration choisie, non à l'immigration subie. Subie means suffered, imposed, something like that, between suffered and imposed. And the problem was that immigration subie was a legal immigration. It was a family reunification. It was the students. So how can you qualify as suffered, as imposed, something which is legal from with a constitutional basis or based on European convention? It is a problem. And his idea was to imitate the Swiss system or the Canadian system and having and selecting high-skilled migrants. So let's see to what extent he succeeded in doing this. Here are the distribution of the different categories of admission, of permits, since 2005. 2005 is the moment at which Sarkozy is Ministry of Interior for the second time, and he is really beginning to reform, to recast, refonder the national immigration policy. And in 2006, there is a very important reform. He created a ministry of the, well, he tried to repatriate all the ministerial departments working on migration into a same system. And then later, some years later, when after his election to the presidency, he will create a Ministry of Immigration. So the idea is to have a coherent, consistent action on the migration. But as you can see here, the work migration, well, has increased a little after 2006, but very little, and we never reached the objective, which was clearly formulated. It was, we need to have a work migration which is at least as important as the other categories of migration. It means we have to reduce immigration subie in order to promote immigration choisie, and you see that the result is absolutely out of reach. And I wrote a book on this question, why it has never been evaluated, never. You will not find in any official commission, for example, an evaluation of all this period. And then the policy. So what you can see also here is the two categories of family-based migration. Two very different categories, families of foreigners. And so this is the family reunification according to European law, and families of French. You have the right to marry a foreigner, and this creates a marriage migration. And marriage migration is a little more important in volume than the families of foreigners and family reunification. And as you can see, during the Sarkozy period, there was a slight reduction of these two categories, but and then we came back to the same level in the beginning, and so it is contained. It is more or less extremely stable, and all the debate on the successive presidential campaigns are about the reduction or even the abolition of family unification. But how can you do it? We have done everything. We have fought with white marriages or gray marriages and marriage without the consent of one of the spouses and so on. We have imposed threshold of resources, etc. Previous knowledge of French. The idea is, in order to be integrated, you must be integrated before entry. And so we put the bar as the sooner and the highest as possible. And okay, so the result is we contained family migration, but we never succeeded to reduce it, unless we solemnly proclaim then we should resiliate the international conventions. And some political leaders have begun to write this down in their programs, but they didn't want. And so the most important increase in migration flow is migration of students, international students. We include international students among migrants. And refugees seek people, well, this is of course the impact, but a rather slim impact of the so-called migrant crisis. And this is exactly the same data, but with a separate representation of each. And I will finish with this graph. And this is something a little similar to the US system. The 90,000 people who are granted a family permit every year, who are they? How does it work? Well, in fact, if you look in depth, an important fraction, we don't know exactly, of these people are here since years. They have these permits on in 2008, 18, for example, but they live in France since 10 years, 15 years sometimes, etc. So these undocumented people spend their time accumulating papers. Papers which call, we call this in French, preuve de présence, presence proofs, elements that prove they have a for example, attaches with a residential, medical, school, etc. So they send their children to school, they work, they have access to special care, there is a special line of budget for undocumented people. So these people are not completely out of the law. They are not outlaws. They are in a semi-status. And after years and years, when they have suffered enough, they can reach the Graal, which is the permit of stay. And you can see that for the spouse of French citizens, not, well, it's a little complicated, but then you have a series of measures. For example, if your child was born in France, he is now 13, he can become French, or now you're parent of a French child, so you can have the title. Or if you spouse somebody from European Union, or etc. So, and at the end, and this is my last statement, at the end, private and family life, VPF. This has been, this is a way, well, we are obliged to conform to the European Convention of Rights, and which say that if you have accumulated a certain number of links with a French society, it would be unproportionate to refuse you the permit, okay? But the problem is, if you have some links with your origin country, you could make your family unification in your country of origin. So in order to repeal this argument, you have to demonstrate that you have no longer any link with the country of origin. So many parents, for example, dissimulate the existence of children who are still living in France, or dissimulate the fact that during some years, the children were still in Algeria, in Turkey, in Portugal, whatever. So all the binational way of life, the precedence of circulation between the countries, are absolutely must be kept out the sight of the administration, otherwise you cannot obtain the title. So after years and years of waiting, these undocumented papers receive a paper, well, on the family ground. In other countries, such as Germany, for example, an important fraction of these people would have received, would have been granted immediately an asylum title, or a work permit, or something different, a non-humanitarian or non-family, etc. But this is the way we manage migration, and I've finished. Thank you.